Think you know Amazon? Think again. Did you know you can get a seasonal warehouse job offer today? You don't even need to interview. That means you can make extra cash before the holidays. You can even pick your own payday. And seasonal jobs can lead to full-time, regular employment. You'll be amazed by what you can get as an Amazon warehouse associate. To learn more about all the benefits of working a seasonal job at Amazon, go to amazon.com/hourly. Amazon is proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
You're listening to the BBM Global Network with 25 years in broadcast audio and video production. Our passionate team creates content and marketing for the world of Internet talk radio. If you've got a passion, come join us at bbmglobalnetwork.com. The BBM Global Network. Your voice is now heard.
Flame Ministry with your host, Pastor Kathleen Panning. Kathleen Panning, who has been an ordained minister for over 35 years, brings her experience to your ministry. Be it energizing your staff or working through conflicts with your faith community. So now, please welcome the host of A Flame Ministry, Pastor Kathleen Panning.
Welcome to A Flame Ministry. We are here as always on Bold Brave Talk and TuneIn Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Kathleen Panning, and this is a show about ministry in all of the very many different forms and ways that that can be done. And sometimes my guest talks about a different faith, and we try to dispel misunderstandings and bridge some differences. But most of the time, my guest is someone who talks about something that kind of relates to all of us in all faiths, because it's about us as human beings. And my guest today is returning, but after about 3 years since he was last on, Richard Villasana is a leading international expert on immigration issues and foster families. And he's the founder of the nonprofit Forever Homes for Foster Kids. Richard has been featured on CNN International, Univision, AP News, ABC TV, Costco Connections, WISH TV in Indiana, The Washington Post, and is the author of the upcoming book Do No Harm, about the government's efforts to reunite thousands of children separated from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border and the current foster care crisis. Richard, welcome back to A Flame Ministry.
Thank you for having me.
Say a little bit about the present state or lack of the U.S. foster care system in general?
The U.S. foster care system right now is really in crisis, and there are some key reasons for this. The first being that after 2 years of COVID, many adults who were available and willing and helping children who were coming into the foster care system are no longer involved with foster care.
Wow.
Some of these were the older adults, especially those in their 60s. They may also have been grandparents who, because of COVID, were unable to continue because of the threat to their health. So many of those people have stepped away. We've also lost many adults who passed away, who were in their 40s and 50s, who were also acting as foster parents. So we've lost this great number of adults who had, you know, volunteered and dedicated their lives in many instances to help foster kids. So we've got this lack, and on top of that, we have states who have pulled away from the welfare system, from financing it, and so foster care is not getting the appropriate funding it needs to. And when you have that, that means you don't have enough people, you don't have enough training, and ultimately it means the children in this country are being left wanting and not getting their needs and taken care of.
So, like I said, it's been like 3 years since we talked, which was before COVID really hit, and things weren't great then, even. And you're saying it's gotten a lot worse, if I'm understanding you correctly.
Absolutely, much worse.
And on top of that, we have the continued number of people who are attempting at least to come to this country across the southern border, and the policies that were in place and still are in many cases that sometimes separate parents from children. And those children, sometimes without parents coming, what's happening to them?
So, great question. In 2017, 2018, the U.S. government engaged in an unofficial policy that resulted in children being separated from their parents at the border. And so anytime a child comes in across the border, whether it's with the parent and they were separated or alone, they're placed in a particular facility. It's run by the Office of Refugee Resettlement, the ORR. And their job is to work to find a sponsor. Pretty much it's the federal side of foster care. Find someone who's in the United States who will take this child in. Very often there is a relative who's already in the United States, might be another parent, might be an uncle, aunt, friend of the family, so that the child can go stay with them. And so that is what does happen to many children, although about 20% are not able to be matched up to someone. So they stay actually in the ORR facility until they turn 18 years old. Now, for those children who come in and are placed with a sponsor, it's a fancy way of saying parent or aunt or a relative, we have to keep in mind those family members, they don't have documents, they're not able to get regular jobs, they are having to work the underground economy, which means they're ripe for abuse and for low wages. And so these kids are going into a family setting that is already impoverished and is very likely to stay that way. And all the things that can happen to families in poverty are the things that these children can experience. A lot of anger, a lot of resentment, parents working 2-3 jobs so the children are left at home, and that leads them to the door being open for them ending up in the U.S. foster care system.
Yeah, and this is, we're talking about the kids who are already in this country in the foster care system and not having enough people to help with that, and then adding on more makes it doubly difficult in many, many respects. We have to take our first break, but I also want to talk about what happens when kids get to be 18 in the foster care system. So this is Bold Brave Talk and Tune In Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Kathleen Panning. You're listening to A Flame Ministry. Richard and I have a lot more to share, so stay tuned. We're coming right back.
Tune into It's All About You with host Dr. Martha Latz, a lively weekly broadcast on BBM Global Network, one of the most empowering shows for time-starved, overscheduled multitaskers. The professional expertise of Dr. Latz is directly available live every Thursday at 1 p.m. to answer and address concerns about relationships, life transitions of career, meeting, dating, and committed relationships. It's All About You with Dr. Latz will expand your understanding of current
current concerns across your relationships by broadening and expanding possible solutions in developing skills for mutually desired outcomes. Dr. Martha's expertise is as a licensed marriage and family therapist, life, transition coach, and all things to do with communication at work, home, and with friends. Check out her website at auniquetherapycenter.com.
Author, radio show host, and coach John M. Hawkins reveals strategies to help gain perspective, build confidence, find clarity, achieve goals. John M. Hawkins' new book, Coached to Greatness, Unlock Your Full Potential with Limitless Growth, published by iUniverse. Hawkins reveals strategies to help readers accomplish more. He believes the book can coach them to greatness. Hawkins says that the best athletes get to the top of their sport with the help of coaches, mentors, and others. He shares guidance that helps readers reflect on what motivates them, rediscover and assess their core values, philosophies, and competencies, find settings that allow them to be the most productive, and track their progress towards accomplishing goals. Listen to John Hawkins' My Strategy, Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Pastor Kathleen Panning, your host here on Aflame Ministry, and we are on TuneIn Radio and Bold Brave Talk. My guest today is Richard Villasana. He is the founder of the nonprofit Forever Homes for Foster Kids, and he's also a leading international expert on immigration issues. And before the break, Richard, you talked about what kind of happens with these, with a lot of the immigrant children who get placed in, hopefully with a relative or neighbor or somebody that the child already knows, but they're, because of the immigration issues, that probably is a lower income family. What is there any funding that goes to foster care parents in general, but also to these those who are helping the immigrant children?
So when it comes to foster parents, they do get something we would call stipend, but it's not much. In Arizona, and this was up for a change in legislation, but recently the amount of money that a foster parent got per child, $75 a month. We are talking about very, very low numbers here. People who are getting hundreds of dollars, they're not getting thousands of dollars. And so just think about that. What does a teenager eat in 1 week would easily eat through that $75. So this is not a lot of money. And this is one of the problems, is that we have people taking in the children, but they're having to foot the bill, and they're not getting that kind of help, much less being able to meet their medical needs, scholastic needs, et cetera. Then you add on to that the immigrant children. Now, the immigrant children who are placed with their sponsors, those people really aren't getting much help unless it's a nonprofit, but they're not getting government help like people do when they're foster parents. They are getting government help. So, again, the immigrant children are not siphoning off lots of money from the government unless, again, it's with a nonprofit.
I think that's really important for people to understand. Sometimes people think of those who are coming across the border as costing the government, a lot of money to care for them. But the children who stay in don't have sponsors, and they're in a government facility, that does cost money because we don't have someone else to sponsor them. And what happens to those children?
Well, those children stay in the system until they turn 18 years old. And again, their activity and what happens to them mirrors what happens to children who are in foster care, who many of those, when they become 18, will also be out of the system, what we call aging out. And at that point, essentially, a child turns 18 years old. They don't get a birthday cake. What they get is a bag. Could be a grocery bag to put whatever belongings they have. And they are out of the house. They have lost their house. They've lost their place to live. They've lost their safety. And now they're on the street to fend for themselves. They're treated as an independent adult at 18 years old. And most of us can think back, if we're older than 18, how prepared we were for that. Most people will admit, not very. No. And this happens to both, whether the child was on the federal side under the ORR and they turned 18, or they're in foster care and they're turning 18. Now, real quickly, some people will say, what about transitional programs? And that's a program to help bridge from 18 years old to 21, maybe a little older in some states, but only in some states. And that's a great thing because up to 30% of foster kids have not graduated from high school when they turn 18 years old. Right. So they desperately need help so that they can at least get a high school diploma.
Yeah, and it seems really kind of cruel to say, okay, you're 18, bye, you know, get out. And I'm not saying that all of the foster parents or sponsors just literally boot a kid out at that on that day, on their 18th birthday. But the system basically does that. What does that cost us as a society?
So for children who are aging out at 18, research has been done, and the number is around $300,000 per child who ages out. So this year's number of children who will age out, about 23,000 this year, is going to cost U.S. taxpayers $7.2 billion. The problem is next year we're going to have another $7.2 billion worth of debt because these children did not get taken care of while they were in the foster care system. They did not use a process called family finding, looking for relatives who would gladly step up and say, yes, I will take in my nephew, my niece, my cousin, my grandchild, and I will take them in and give them a place to live so they're not living with the federal government and they can have a life and hopefully a much better, brighter future.
So you talk about some of these kids aging out and literally ending up on the streets.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, talk about that for a second, please.
And yes, one of the things you mentioned just a second ago was about the foster parents. And this is really important for the public to know. Foster parents also have their marching orders. A foster parent, doesn't always have the option to say, you know what, I want the child to stay with me. They may have a bed there for a foster child. The foster care agency has already found another child to take that bed. So it's not like the foster parent, if they have one room and they have one bed, can say, you know what, I'd love you to stay as long as you want, because they may have another child coming in. And they've got to switch it out. So, this is something that is very important for people to understand. It's not always the call of the foster parent.
Yeah. And I imagine that can be very tough on the foster parents as well, to see that these kids just get shoved out the door with no place to go. We do have to take another break at that juncture, but there is more to talk about with all of this. This is Bold Brave Talk and Tune In Radio. I'm Pastor Kathleen Panning, your host here on A Flame Ministry. Richard has a lot more to share. Some of it might be positive along the way too, so stay tuned. We'll be coming right back.
Dr. R.C., will share extraordinary resources and services that promote educational success as well as making a difference in the lives of all social workers as well as the lives of children, adolescents, and teens of today. She will have open discussions addressing many of the issues that we face about our youth and how being employed in the uniquely skilled profession of social work for over 18 years has taught invaluable lessons through her personal experiences. She will also provide real-life facts, examples, and personal stories that will confirm that why serving as a child advocate is extremely beneficial when addressing the needs of the whole child. Listen live to Dare to Soar, Saturdays, 10 a.m. Eastern on the BBM Global Network, and tune in radio as Dr. RC will provide thought-provoking information that will empower, encourage, and strengthen students, families, and communities across our nation. You can also visit her at soarwithkatie.com. According to the American Nurses Association, there are approximately 3.5 to 4 million nurses in the United States. So where do all these nurses work? What kind of roles do they have? What kind of education and training help to prepare them for so many different settings? What kind of impact do nurses have on patient outcomes? The World Health Organization has announced that 2020 will be the Year of the Nurse, honoring the 200th birth anniversary of Florence Nightingale. An international initiative called Nursing Now is underway to raise the profile of nursing. The National Academy of Medicine has convened a committee to create the Future of Nursing 2020 to 2030 that will focus on how the nursing profession can create a culture of health, reduce health disparities, and improve the health and well-being of the U.S. population. Learn more and join Joyce Batchelor on All About Nursing, Wednesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on the BBM Global Network.
Welcome back. I'm Pastor Kathleen Panning, your host here on Aflame Ministry, and we are talking about foster children and foster care and some of the issues with immigration as well. And my guest today is Richard Villasana, who's an expert in these things and founder of the nonprofit Forever Homes for Foster Kids. And Richard, before the break, we were talking about what happens when kids in foster care, however they come into the system, become 18, and that the system ages them out. And that may not be the wish of a foster parent that the child has to leave, but that may be a requirement because there's another child that needs to be in their care. We know there are some pretty good statistics as to what happens to kids who become homeless. Can you share some of that?
When a child becomes homeless, and many, look, 80% of foster kids who age out are going to end up either homeless, they're going to be going in and out of jobs. By the time they're 24 years old, only half of foster kids who aged out have a job because they have challenges connecting with people, socializing. Those are part of the skills of growing up they don't get because they're moving around. And as far as the homeless, studies have been done that if you have a 1% homeless population, it can impact the economy of an area like the downtown area by up to $27 million. When you get too many people
lost,
who are homeless.
Lost revenue. Because people don't want to shop where there's a lot of homeless people hanging around.
Absolutely. This is a problem. And it could also bring disease, too. We had a hepatitis A outbreak in California, specifically because the homeless had no place to use the facilities. So there's all kinds of problems that come with homelessness. And another problem for the youth who are aging out. So think of this. An 18-year-old kid aged out of foster care. And now they can't get food from volunteers because the police will actually show up and make the volunteers and the child who got the food throw it in the dumpster. And some people who are trying to help these kids are threatened with being arrested.
Oh, gee.
And if that's not enough, there are some cities who are turning camping on public land, whether it's under an overpass or on some other area into a felony.
Yeah, it just compounds the problems. And for young girls, 18-year-old girls, a lot of them unfortunately end up into prostitution. That's another statistic that's all too common in that kind of setting too. So the problems are many, but you do something that's trying to prevent a lot of this. Talk about what you do for Forever Homes for Foster Kids.
So our focus is on an activity called family finding. And what that means is we identify relatives, we locate them, and then they get notified by the foster care agency. And this is where, if we find enough relatives, someone is likely to step up, again, an aunt, an uncle, an adult cousin, a grandparent who will say, I will take the child in, and I will get them into what we call kinship care. And that's desirable because everyone knows, and there is research to support this, kids do better in a family setting. They're no longer moving around from home to home. No matter how caring and loving foster parents are, the problem is they don't have control over everything, and a child could be in their home, and then 6 months later, boom, they're moved to another home, which may not be as loving. And this happens every 6 months on average to a child year after year. But they're with family, now they've got the family love, family support, the family peer pressure, not to smoke, not to skip school, not to get pregnant, all the things that come along with being in a strong family environment, all those benefits happen to children. So that's what we do. Now, my nonprofit specializes in doing this internationally. We find that absent parent, we find those relatives who are still living in Latin America. We have found these relatives in Brazil, Argentina, Central America, and we're also doing this for the federal government because they got stuck and could not find parents who were separated from the children at the border in 2017-18. So we are finding relatives and connecting children with their families on both sides, the federal and the county side in the foster care system.
Okay, so you know, it's hard enough sometimes to find people in this country. I can imagine, and from things I've read, got the Kindle version of your book, that gets compounded when you're working with a different country and a different culture. Talk about some of the specific additional issues that you run into.
So one of the worst situations and challenges that we have is getting enough information to actually go look for someone. So in this country, we have an address system, 123 Main Street. And if you have that in the city and state, it's pretty easy to find someone. Unfortunately, because people are not trained in the information and how to get this information when it comes to other countries, we don't get that. So I'll give you, for instance, we worked a case where we had the name of the parent, we had one other piece of information, and we knew that they lived in El Salvador. That was it. Nothing else. We still closed the case, but that was a very challenging case because it's all the information we got. And sometimes we'll get information such as saying, we want to find, you know, Kathleen, and she lives in San Diego County, California. That's it. Not much else. So it gets very challenging, and a lot of that has to do with the training. People are not trained in how to do this. And now we also have kids who are coming up who, you know, Brazil, they speak Portuguese, they don't speak Spanish. And in Guatemala, they have different indigenous languages, not dialects, but languages like Mam and Quiche, which means they're not speaking Spanish either.
Yeah, we have to take another break, but this gets to be like putting together a puzzle where you don't even have all the pieces. But this is Bold Brave Talk and Tune In Radio. You're listening to Aflame Ministry. Richard and I will be back with more. Stay tuned. We're coming right back.
Have you ever wondered why some children recover from their symptoms of autism while others never seem to get any better? After 13 years of research, Karen Thomas has recovered her own son from his symptoms of autism naturally. She now shares how she did it with you in her free webinar so that you can have the right resources and knowledge to help your child. The definition of recovery is to regain health. Karen offers this to you in four stages: healing the gut, natural heavy metal detoxification, balancing the co-infections of autism, brain support, and repair. Register now for this free webinar to help you know what you can do to help your child to sleep better, be more calm, improve focus, and reach their fullest potential to live a happy, healthy life. Go to naturallyrecoveringautism.com/free workshop, empowering parents with the resources to naturally recover autism from a mom who's done it.
Mike Zorich, a three-time California state champion in Greco-Roman wrestling at 114 pounds. Mike, blind since birth, was born in Hartford, Connecticut. He was a six-time national placer, including 2 seconds, 2/3, and 2/4. He also won the Veterans Folkstyle Wrestling twice at 152 pounds. In all these tournaments, he was the only blind competitor. Nancy Zorich, a creative spirit whose talents have taken her to the stage and into galleries and exhibitions in several states. Her father, a commercial artist who shared his instruments with his daughter and helped her fine-tune her natural abilities, influenced her decision to follow in his footsteps. Ms. Zorich has enjoyed a fruitful career doing what she loves. Listen Saturday mornings at 12 Eastern for the Nancy and Mike Show for heartwarming stories and interesting talk on the BBM Global Network.
We are back, and this is Aflame Ministry here on Bold Brave Talk and Tune In Radio. I'm Pastor Kathleen Panning, your host, and Richard Villasana is my guest. We're talking about foster care and how that is impacted by the immigration system as well. Before the break, Richard, you were talking about finding families, which is the expertise that your organization has of finding families for children, especially in Latin America, and reuniting these kids in this country, hopefully with a relative or a relative back home that they can be reunited with. So say a little bit more about some of those challenges that you were talking about before the break.
So other challenges other than not having an address is certainly the different cultures. Once again, it's working with government agencies and getting them to help us to locate these individuals. And things change depending upon which country you're looking at. So for Mexico, they do have a very organized address system, just like we do in the U.S. 123 Main Street, they had the equivalent. So you could send a letter to Mexico, and it would, you know, has a good chance of arriving. You get to Central America, on the other hand, you need a phone number, because that's really the only way you're going to reach people. They don't really do letters and magazines and things that we're used to in the U.S. They may get big packages, but pretty much the postal system doesn't work that way because it's very imprecise on the addresses. And so the best thing when we're working with Central America is having that phone number. And again, that is the prized information for any work that we do, because it makes it so easy for any entity, whether it's on the federal side or the county foster care agency, to pick the phone up and talk to someone. So that is one of the challenges. Things shift from country to country. And again, the language barrier, even if you speak Spanish, if you're speaking Spanish and lived in Mexico, talking to someone in El Salvador is going to be a little different accent, different words. So It's not just Spanish across the board.
It kind of like different dialects even within the United States and different accents here. All of those things have to be taken into account. It's a lot of things that people don't think about, you know, and having cell phones these days is actually kind of a gift, because there are phone numbers. And most people have a cell phone these days in every country. So that's one kind of gift as a possible link of communication, if you can get that phone number for all of that. So once you find a relative, maybe in Latin America, then do they help you find relatives in this country for a child who's here? Is that how that connection works?
Yes, actually, we did research on our own results, and we found that in the majority of cases, 80% plus cases, we'll find a relative, let's say, in Honduras, and they will tell us about a relative that's living in the U.S. so the child can stay in the country. And this happens throughout Latin America. There's usually someone who's already in the U.S. Now, the agencies may not know about them, and that's where we're also incredibly helpful, because we can find those relatives that the other agencies, including the federal government, have no idea that there is this aunt or grandparent living in the U.S., and we find them. So, yes, we do find many, many relatives who are living in the U.S. to help these children.
Yeah, what if the person living in the U.S. is not here legally? What does that do to the situation?
Well, it still works the same. And someone might think that, that's a great question, because, again, the perception is, well, they may not want to help. Well, it kind of depends. On the federal side with immigration, yes, sometimes those relatives are not wanting to step up and to offer information. So we'll find someone in Latin America, and the child is an immigrant who is in the U.S. and is with a sponsor, but they don't want to give the contact information because they don't want to take a chance that child will get deported. So that is a concern that happens often with immigrant children. With foster parents, it's not the same thing, and the foster care agencies kind of turn a blind eye, and there's a reason for that. It's simply because the child is not coming out of the system, and as I said before, the child will now be with family. The child will be in that family environment, which is much better than the federal government or, you know, any government institution, and it's less cost for the foster care system. So they're willing to not look at the immigration status and to use that as a point of contention or as a barrier to get that child over to a relative.
Good. So what about faith communities? How can they and do they help with funding, with finding any of these kids? Latin America is primarily Roman Catholic in many areas. How is there an involvement with faith communities in this situation?
Absolutely. Faith communities are an incredibly important collaborator in all of this, because they are focused on the child and they are focused on getting that child to a better environment. And so you do have Catholic Charities is probably the largest, in that they are involved with adoption, they are involved with foster care. Many organizations locally will step up and take care of children at the local level. You have the Lutherans who do a wonderful outreach. So you definitely have the religious stepping up and caring for these children, offering more services also to their families.
That's very wonderful to hear, and people can funnel funds to that. And I know that you're a nonprofit, so people can help fund, forever homes for foster kids as well. We do have to take another break and got more to talk about with all of this. So this is Bold Brave Talk and Tune In Radio. I'm Pastor Kathleen Panning, your host here on A Flame Ministry. Richard and I have more to share, so stay tuned.
Did you know that your beliefs create your entire reality, but it's the subconscious beliefs that do most of the creating? Belief shifter and life coach Shiraz can help you identify those limiting beliefs and eliminate them, often in a single session.
Like it was almost instant, like I had relief right away.
Creating better health, relationships, careers, and finances. Let Shiraz help you step out of safety and into awareness.
Definitely something's happening. It's like a flow inside. Yeah, it feels good.
Whether in person or online, Shiraz provides personal coaching, belief shifting. Visit Shiraz at energeticmagic.com or call 416-529-7429. Energetic Magic on the BBM Global Network, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Find your greater happiness. Be well. Be aware. Be magical.
Master of words, powerful player. What life-changing words can Dr. Janet Smith Warfield pull out of her magical toolbox that just might mysteriously open a door you never knew was there? A door to free yourself from fear forever. Transform your rage into right action. Release your guilt. Position you into a life of freedom, purpose, passion, power, and peace. All quite suddenly, unexpectedly, and almost miraculously, with no effort on your part. Join Dr. Janet every Monday at noon Eastern on Dancing with Words, Dancing with Wisdom on the BBM Global Network as she and her guests show you how words map our experiences, immersing you in a sound bath that relaxes your muscles, opens your mind, and supports you in co-creating your extraordinary life.
Welcome back. I'm Pastor Kathleen Panning, your host here on A Flame Ministry on Bold Brave Talk and Tune In Radio. And my guest today is Richard Villasana, the founder of the nonprofit Forever Homes for Foster Kids. And we've been talking about the foster care system and finding homes through your nonprofit for mainly for children from other countries, Latin America in particular, who are in the foster care system in this country or in the U.S. custody. And before the break, I just quickly mentioned that you're a nonprofit. You don't charge most entities for the services you provide. Is that correct?
This is correct. And let me step back on something you just said so we have a good understanding here. So when it comes to foster care, the vast majority of children who are in foster care are U.S.-born children. So they just happen to be Latino. And because they're Latino, their relatives, instead of being in Europe or in Asia, they're going to be in Latin America. But the vast majority of, and that's about 90,000 Latino children who end up in U.S. foster care. But these are children born in the U.S. who have at least one U.S. parent. So you have this mix of immigrant children who come into the foster care system, but you also have U.S.-born children who their relatives, because they're Latino, those relatives live in Latin America. And yes, for the counties that we do foster care work for, we offer our services free of charge. And here's why. The sad truth is that most of these agencies, even though the states are receiving millions and millions of federal dollars, our tax dollars, by the time it gets to the counties will put it into kind of like a slush fund. And when it comes to taking care of these children and looking for their relatives, they will tell not only my nonprofit, but other nonprofits, we're broke. We can't afford to go look for those children. Now, we've already talked about that's $300,000 per child when they age out. And depending upon where the child stays, it could be charging a county $10,000 per child per month.
Wow.
But they don't have enough money to pay a small percentage of that to have someone look for the relatives and get that child out of the foster care system into kinship care. That is truly the crisis we have in this country, is that we discriminate against those kids because their relatives could be living 10 miles south of San Diego or 10 miles south of Brownsville. Agencies don't do it, and they don't pay. And my nonprofit said, you know what, that is obscene. That's not right. That is discriminatory. We're going to offer it to you for free, so you have no excuses not to give us that case and let us help that child. And so, yes, we are self-funding by donations from individuals, private citizens who go to our Facebook page and donate or start a fundraiser. Super easy, takes all of 60 seconds, and raise money to help us help these children, because the government and most counties are not willing to do so.
Which is really upside down thinking, because by not helping, it's really costing everybody a lot more. And, you know, just based on the economics of it, much less the what it costs the child and the future and all of those kinds of things. So, and you talk about all of this kind of stuff in your new book. And the title of your book is Do No Harm. Why did you choose that title?
I choose that title, and you do have to see the graphics, because you'll notice that the no part of it has a strike through it. So right. When you look at it, it really says do harm. And that's exactly what's happening. Harm is being done to these children. Massive harm was done to the children who were separated from their parents. And there's lots of documentation about the massive trauma that these kids endured. What many people don't know is for the children who were immigrant, some had seen their families killed in front of them. Some had been abused in vicious manners. Some had been threatened with death. That's all before they got to the U.S. Then they were taken away from their mother or their father, and they haven't seen that relative now. For some children, we're getting close to 5 years. So imagine not seeing your mother, not being able to talk to your mother for 5 years, and you are 4 years old, and now you're 9 years old, and that's your life. And that's what happened to these children. And so my book talks about all that, talks about the harm that was done, talks about the government's commitment to reunifying these families. Unfortunately, it's been a very rocky road over the last several years, and we are still far away from making reunification a reality for thousands of families.
Yeah. And there is one thing. Well, let's talk about some solutions, because, I mean, we can give many examples of problems. But what are some of the solutions? And you do talk about that in your book as well. Some of the, you know, some ways to start, at least start to fix some of this stuff.
Absolutely, because writing a book about problems is only half of it. You know, I knew that was going to be a terrible way to go if I didn't provide solutions and give you hope that there is a way to make this better. And there is hope of making this better. And that is covered in the last chapters of the book. One of the big ones is the counties and the state need to step up and put in adequate funding. Look, we understand that if there's a business and they don't have enough money in the bank to last, you know, more than 1 week or 1 month, they're going to go under. But somehow we imagine this is not going to happen with the government. They have to have enough money coming in, and that money will then fund more training and more staff and better education to take care of the kids.
And that's really the foundation to start all of the process of making everything better. We do have to take another break. This is Bold Brave Talk and Tune In Radio. I'm Pastor Kathleen Panning, your host here on A Flame Ministry. Richard and I will be right back. Stay tuned. There is more.
Tune into It's All About You with host Dr. Martha Latz, a lively weekly broadcast on BBM Global Network, one of the most empowering shows for time-starved, overscheduled multitaskers. The professional expertise of Dr. Latz is directly available live every Thursday at 1 p.m. to answer and address concerns about relationships, life transitions of career, meeting, dating, and committed relationships. It's All About You with Dr. Latz will expand your understanding of current concerns across your relationships by broadening and expanding possible solutions in developing skills for mutually desired outcomes. Dr. Martha's expertise is as a licensed marriage and family therapist, life, transition coach, and all things to do with communication at work, home, and with friends. Check out her website at auniquetherapycenter.com.
Dr. RC will share extraordinary resources and services that promote educational success as well as making a difference in the lives of all social workers as well as the lives of children, adolescents, and teens of today. She will have open discussions addressing many of the issues that we face about our youth and how being employed in the uniquely skilled profession of social work for over 18 years has taught invaluable lessons through her personal experiences. She will also provide real-life facts, examples, and personal stories that will confirm that why serving as a child advocate is extremely beneficial when addressing the needs of the whole child. Listen live to Dare to Soar, Saturdays, 10 a.m. Eastern on the BBM Global Network, and tune in radio as Dr. RC will provide thought-provoking information that will empower, encourage, and strengthen students, families, and communities across our nation. You can also visit her at soarwithkatie.com.
Welcome back. I'm Pastor Kathleen Petting, your host here on A Flame Ministry on Bold Brave Talk and TuneIn Radio. My guest today has been Richard Villasana, and still is here, founder of the nonprofit Forever Homes for Foster Kids. Richard, time is quickly passing here. Please tell people again how to get in touch with you, how to get your book, and when it's coming out, and if need be, if there's a little time left, a little something more.
Absolutely. One of the best ways to help and the way people can interact is to go to our Facebook page. They can just type in Forever Homes for Foster Kids. They'll find us. And if they leave a comment, chances are it's going to come from me personally. So I help a lot of people with information on how they can become foster parents, adoptive parents. They can also do fundraisers there on Facebook to help raise money because, again, when it comes to helping foster kids, we don't get paid unless we have donations. More donations, more kids that we can help. And the same is true of the book. The book covers so much of what we have talked about today. And for people who want to know more, Do No Harm by Richard Villasana is the way to go. Go to Amazon, get the Kindle. That will help also because every book sold donates into the nonprofit to help these kids. So it's another way that people can help. And the book will give people information on how the system works, what our work and the benefits of our work, and how we together can help these children have a better life. There are ways. It starts with the government, but also starts with people knowing about foster care and caring about a child and wanting to make life better for that one child. Let's start there. That one child, we can do that, and then we'll do it for another and another.
Thank you, Richard, so much for this. The paperback comes out October 18th, but the Kindle is available now on Amazon. For people to get in touch with me, please go to my Facebook page or LinkedIn. Facebook, you can find me at A Flame Ministry Consulting, my website, aflameministryconsulting.com. And LinkedIn, you can type in my name and find me that way. And I always close by asking people to do two things. Number one, find 10 things every single day that you're grateful for. Can be something small. Doesn't have to be something big. A smile, a thank you, whatever. And then one way to share a little bit of God's love. again, you can send a text message, you can just tell somebody thank you very nicely. And so, Richard, thank you for your time today and for what you do for foster children all around the world, and especially those in the United States and their families. And so, for everyone, until next time, God's blessings, God's peace, and come back next week for another show.
This has been a Flame Ministry with your host, Pastor Kathleen Panning. Tune in each week as Kathleen guides you through the many challenges that face our faith-based communities today, as she ignites the ministry of your faith community so that more people can hear the message of God's love on Kathleen Panning's A Flame Ministry.
You've been listening to the BBM Global Network. The ideas, views, and opinions of this broadcast are those of the participants of the program and are not necessarily the ideas, views, and opinions of the BBM Global Network Company.
While a cancer diagnosis can be devastating, you don't have to face it alone. At Stony Brook Cancer Center, we are physicians, nurses, therapists, researchers, and educators working together to treat your cancer. You'll receive personalized attention by a multidisciplinary team who will care for you from every angle. And access to leading-edge research, because we don't just conduct clinical trials, we create them. We are Stony Brook Medicine. All we do is all for you.